What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo and welcome to your match review of Newcastle 4, Chelsea 1, a game I don't think any of us expected to see. It's a good job it was at 3 o'clock because then that means a lot of people didn't see it. But unfortunately, we were stupid enough to all try and find streams. Obviously, the usual suspects are over here. You've got myself, you've got Tobes, you've got Tom, and producer Jordan is waiting in the wings to undoubtedly dispel some knowledge about that dreadful performance. Gentlemen, let's just get straight to it. How are we feeling? We okay?
I'm good. It's been 2 days, so I'm better than I was. I went out and got absolutely smashed on the Saturday night, so I kind of forgot about that second half, which helped.
It was, what about you, Tom? It wasn't great, was it?
No, but I'll give it a different angle from my own perspective anyway, that it was bittersweet towards the end, the second half, because I had both Lascelles and Gordon in my fantasy team.
That's despicable. That
Gary's going to hear that, and he's going to basically scream for you to be kicked off the pod for a week. He's going to put he's going to put you on the naughty step.
I'm not changing my team every week just because someone's playing Chelsea. That's not happening.
That's a yellow card.
Lascelles was bittersweet. Gordon, I must admit, actually was quite happy because the game has gone by then, so who cares? Give me the points. If I'm going to be miserable, at least give me some points. And now I've overtaken Louis, so there you go. Yeah, and then I also went and had quite a few beers.
He overtook me in the Fantasy League, and I'm not happy about that. I checked that this morning. I was livid. I'm hoping Max Kilman's going to score a hat-trick, and then I'll be back on top, so I'll be all right.
Sounds likely.
I know, exactly. Hey, listen, strange things have happened, like Joelinton scoring. But anyway, let's just get straight into it. Aside from the shambles, obviously, we've talked about how our weekend is. Everyone's been hammered. But we did see some great goals this weekend. Obviously, Sterling scored a banger of a free kick. Elise scored a great goal. Lo Celso, Garnacho, whether I think what is going to be nominated for goal of the season. Let's talk about those best goals. What is the best goal you've seen, and what is the best goal you've seen live? That is a conversation worth having.
In terms of live Chelsea, I have a definitive top three, and I'd never know the ranking. I kind of flip on it the whole time. Those are Drogba against Liverpool when he like chested it, volleyed it with his left, like in one motion. That was an unreal goal. And I was in the family end, like East Lower. I was perfectly like eye level, and like TV just never does it justice in terms of how quick and fluid that movement was. It was ridiculous. I'd also say, what was the one I was thinking of? Oh, Essien versus Arsenal. That was incredible.
You were there for that one.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, and I was also we were east upper, but a bit close to the away fans. So it was a perfect angle for that as well in terms of seeing like the whole curvature. It was absolutely nuts. We drew the game 1-1, but the strike was just insane. And the other one is Eden Hazard versus West Ham. They're my top three I've seen in the flesh.
Good goals, I think. They're very good three. What about you, Tom?
Clearly, I've not been to enough football, or just I'm a bad luck charm, because I can't think of any goals that are particularly noteworthy that I've seen live. I'll go for goals that are meant the most instead. Mine's a very niche one. Obviously, Hazard, albeit it was a penalty, but it won us the FA Cup when I was there in 2018, I think.
Probably the most FA Cup final ever.
Yeah, which reminds me of the TikTok page. Tobes, I saw you interacting with that on Twitter today, the forgettable PL moments.
Oh, I love that.
Keeps cracking me up. Marcus Alonso throw-in was the latest one I saw. Really made me laugh.
Really?
Anyway.
I saw it was... Yeah, no, sorry. Yeah. I was going to say it was like Diafra Sacco failed shot.
It is a good page, and there's surely endless content for that TikTok page. But yeah, the one that I'm going to go for, a really niche goal that meant the most, which is Hudson-Odoi scoring against Juve, because it was right in front of me. I could probably smell him, and obviously I love that bloke. So yeah,
sorry, that's
I was buzzing when he scored that goal.
I had a few, to be fair. I was there, so Matic against Spurs in the FA Cup semi-final. I was bang on the halfway line for that as well in the upper tier, so you saw it sail in. When Hazard turned Coquelin into a fidget spinner, that's one of my favourites.
Nice.
right in front of me as well. I've seen a few, but I think my third one of my favourites, because it was so redundant in the long term on the theme of forgettable PL moments. It's not a forgettable PL moment; it's a forgettable CL moment, and that is Davide Zappacosta from the right wing back in against Carabag. That's probably one of my favourites as well. But then I was the West Ham ones up there. Eden Hazard just takes over that list. But then I was also there when Marcus Alonso scored the brace against Spurs in Wembley.
Well, Wembley, that's good.
So I've had some good moments. I was gutted. I missed the. Well, I think I was working during the Brentford game when Rudiger finally scored. Oh, that's one thing I'm not going to regret.
No, you won't regret that. I was there for that, and I promise you, by the end, you were like, all those years waiting for a Rudiger banger to go in, and it comes in, and we lose 4-1 at home.
No, oh, mate, it's nuts.
Terrific.
It's nuts. Yeah. What's doing me in my head about this Garnacho goal is everyone's banging on about it being the best Premier League goal ever, but Wayne Rooney did exactly the same thing in a bigger game, in a more important game against Man City, and I think that's probably the most...
Rooney shinned him.
Bit more shinny. No, I get it. In terms of, if you said like greatest goal, Rooney's ahead. But in terms of like the best bicycle kick you've seen, it's better than Rooney's. I think it's still better. I think it's better than Ronaldo's against Juve. Like, I genuinely think.
Really?
Mate. In terms of like the range and the fact that he has to go back in terms of where the cross is. Like, the cross is a kind of a bad cross. He makes it work. It's a bit like Bale made Marcelo's cross work against Liverpool. But, like, he had to change his movements in order to hook the ball back across. It's top bin. It's unreal, but yeah, obviously, like you said, all those other goals that we just mentioned there, you know, Bale, Ronaldo, Rooney, the games mattered a lot more, so obviously they're going to be remembered a bit higher, but I thought it was an insane goal.
Yeah, I screamed. I woke my brother up from his nap as I screamed and figured out that is what the definition of a screamer is. For some reason, I never really understood why it was called a screamer. I just went with it, and then after that, I was like, that's why I call them screamers. But yeah, the best bicycle kick of all time, had this discussion in many group chats yesterday and came up with the definitive answer that it's Latan's one against England. That is
unbeatable. Because that was for about 25 yards as well, wasn't it? It was outside the box.
I had to re-watch it because in my head I was like, no, Garnacho, that is insane. But then obviously someone said Zlatan, I was like, right, I'm going to look it up. And then, because in my mind, the keeper wasn't in goal. So I was like, he has a whole goal to aim at. But then I kind of saw how far out it was, and the fact that he's actually had the audacity to just think and do that, and no one else would do that. So for me, Zlatan wins.
Do you know what's interesting about that game, actually, was that Wilfried Zaha played for England that day.
So did Stephen Caulker, and he scored.
Hang on, but wasn't Zlatan's... I thought that was one in the Euros.
No. This was Ibra scored 4 against England in, like, I don't know if it was a friendly or something, but yeah, Zaha played, and Hodgson was one that didn't pick him, and he ended up playing for Ivory Coast, and then Hodgson and him not played together. they were together at Palace loads. So yeah, we lost a real one.
Oh mate, that would have been so good to see Wilfried Zaha play for England. But anyway, enough of that. We'll move swiftly on. We'll look straight into this game, unfortunately. I know we don't want to. We'll rip it off like a plaster. Unlike the one which I've got on my finger, which I managed to cut my knuckle earlier. I was cutting someone's hair. But anyway, listen, after two big results, great games as well against City, against Spurs. Four goals in this, but unfortunately, not the right way around. A bit of a wake-up call, wasn't it?
Yeah, and what was so peculiar with it was I was actually relatively happy at half-time. I didn't think it was a bad performance by any means. I thought the game was there to be won. I thought it was pretty even. We'd had not just brilliant free kick from Sterling. Gallagher had a chance. Badia Shield had a chance. There was a lovely move we did. The build-up play was actually so slick. Enzo got on the end of a shot and Pope made a good save. Like, there was also a sitter that Joe Linton missed. It wasn't a defensive masterclass by any means, but it was a very contrasting second half performance. I was pretty mind-blown by it, to be honest. It was a real... something they've shown quite a few times actually this season, it's complacency. Like, we saw it with Sanchez against Arsenal, but I thought defensively they were very complacent. Like, how can Lascelles essentially, if you had to mark one person on the pitch who's going to score a header in the middle of the box, it probably would have been Lascelles. And he was completely naked. Well, not, yeah, he was, you know, he's completely free in the middle of the box to make it 2-1. And then you go and throw away the game like that with Thiago Silva's error for the third. The first goal even is riddled with errors in terms of Cucurella didn't step up. Everyone else had played him off, so there wasn't enough communication perhaps going on. I don't know if that's because it's a young thing or they all speak different languages sort of thing. I don't really know what went on there. And then the fourth, I thought Badishil was poor in that, left his man. It was poor from Rhys in terms of getting sent off. Like, yeah, we're 3-1 down. The game's probably gone, but Newcastle just scored 2 goals in quick succession. Why can't you, like, stay in the game? It was needless to kick the ball away, although I thought it was a harsh yellow. It's just, you don't need to do it. And then, you know, Anthony Gordon's going to go down. you can blow, you can just literally breathe on him and the bloke's going to fall over. Just don't give him the opportunity to. I thought it was really naive, immature, and it was a very immature second half performance. And we've said this season already, there's been some immature performances and these are a young group, but they do need to show a bit more fight than that. Like, especially the level they'd shown against City. Like, that's, you've set the precedent now. That's what you have to deliver. You have to deliver that same level of intensity, and they didn't do that. And we have this constant, you know, one step forward, two step back at the moment. It's very frustrating to watch.
No, absolutely. I think that the whole thing was, like I said, there's a lot of naivety, which is something we've been saying constantly this year. Naivety, something's gone wrong. But I think I'll get onto what I think fully at the end, because it fits more into what we're talking about there. But I mean, it was just a weird game. I mean, with that, obviously, we're in it for an hour, like you were saying. We were kind of thereabouts, and then boom, two lapses of concentration, two goals inside a minute. You know, it doesn't make any sense. Tom, with that, and obviously we've talked about those, the first two goals, obviously, or sorry, the two goals that made it 3-1. The first goal, though, was it too easy?
Yeah, and I don't want to say I told you so with a certain curly-haired man, but this has been it's been coming. Like, he's played well for a month. We saw him last year, and he was like this all season. He makes mistakes, and this game was a game where he made mistake after mistake, and sadly, he wasn't the only one, and it just was... It was poor. I think all four goals are poor to concede, to be honest, especially for a team like us. You know, any professional team, any Premier League team would be annoyed to concede those four goals, let alone concede all four of them in one game, and obviously the second and third goal within the same minute. We spoke about Thiago Silva. Well, Chelsea made a big deal about Thiago Silva becoming our new oldest ever player, which is great, but then he goes and puts in a performance like that, and you're a bit like, is that kind of the beginning of the end? But then Badia Shield, I thought, was poor, although maybe it's a bit harsh to expect where he was before because he's been out for so long. De Sassi's been good at times, but meh at times. And then obviously Colwell, we've seen him playing at left back a lot. So suddenly that's a really strong group of four centre backs that I thought we had. I'm starting to have strong doubts about them, which isn't great. Obviously, Kukure has managed to, I'm pretty sure he got another yellow and therefore got himself suspended for the next game. Reece James obviously also out for Brighton, so what our defensive four is going to look like is going to be very interesting for that one. But yeah, as a sort of massive positive, obviously we did concede four against City, but it actually, as a defensive unit, I thought we were all right. And then against Spurs, obviously that was all about the red cards and that weird game in that regard. But this was a big, I think Tobe said it really well in the voice note review, a big step back. And kind of a reminder of where we are in terms of a young team developing rather than a team genuinely competing at the top end of the table. And where we are in the table and our points in the table sadly reflects that. You know, we're on 16 now, we're 6 points behind Brighton, our next opponents, who are eighth. So we're a long way off anywhere really at the moment, and we're just kind of in no man's land. So a bit disappointing in that regard, very disappointing in terms of the game. But I guess the positive is that we were in it for an hour, and well, that's about it really, isn't it?
I see. It's a tough one. It's a tough one. I think that the whole thing is just like, I get why everyone's feeling so down about it. You know, it is a big step back, but at the same time, I do feel that we're not as far off as people think we are. You know, with the run that we have now, I am fairly confident I can see us picking up minimum 16 points, which isn't bad. And I think, you know, for where we are, I think the other teams around us, they have more difficult games as well. So Christmas run's never going to be easy. It never is for anybody. But I do think we're not as far off as it seems. But the big thing with this game as well, especially, is these results are going to happen constantly. You know, we're going to, this season was a big case of that. We were looking at it going, okay, well, you know, what's going to happen this year is we just kind of need to go with the rough of the smooth. We said that in our very, 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 very first episode. We were kind of going, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have games where you take it to the best team in the world, really, really show what you're capable of. And then you're going to have games where you take on a team which is injury stricken and you fall off, purely because of naivety. You know, that's going to happen this year. And these are young guys that are learning on the job. What worries me the most about this game was some of the comments that I saw afterwards when they were talking about how, I think it was Simon Phillips was saying that the board are expecting us to be in the top four. That's what they want this year. And you read that and you go, you have not got a clue. Even if you do the basic maths, if we had to do the basic maths, on average, you need about 70 points to get top four. So we need to be picking up 54 points. So that is basically only losing three games at the back end of next season, if we do the rest of the maths, basically. And it's mathematically impossible. I was kind of expecting us to be around this mark at the minute. And obviously, we're 4 points off of West Ham, which isn't great. But, you know, it's you've got the top six, top eight. You then got like a mid-table, and then you have the battle at the bottom. We are top end of that mid-table, and I have no doubts that we will eventually break into that top eight. I don't think that that is, it's a question of that not happening. I'm very confident we have the quality in that team, and I think, you know, it's when it gets to the back end of Europe as well. You know, I think Villa are going to go quite far in the Conference League. I think in Europa League you're going to be seeing all those teams doing quite well, and they're all sat above us and they're all struggling. You know, I think Brighton will do okay in Europe this year. They're not going to be anything special, I don't think. But, you know, with, you know, the games they've got coming up and everything as well, maybe their eyes aren't going to be on this Chelsea game as much as it could be. But look, I mean, overall, I'm not too worried. It's one bad game. That's really, and I'm still looking at the previous two going, okay, as long as they learn from this, that's a big thing. And another thing to worry about, it's not in the notes I've noticed as well, was over the past couple of days, obviously after Poch sort of saying, guys, they're going to be in for training tomorrow, we saw a lot of the players posting on social about the fact that they most definitely were not in training. I think the two ones that are notable are Mudrick and Jackson, but I think those are both stated that they were already pre-planned. I think Mudrick was going to Shakhtar to sort of say goodbye properly, and I think, and Jackson was obviously going back to Villarreal ages ago. That was already planned. But it is what it is, pretty much.
That was really a real surreal moment there, like listening to what you were saying. Because not that you weren't saying anything I didn't agree with or that wasn't sensible, but what the fuck are we talking about? We're looking at teams like Villa and Brighton and Newcastle. Do you know what? Like, this is what is happening to Chelsea that we're sat there going, oh, you know, we'll be in and around that. Like, why the fuck are we in and around them? How have they made it this much of a? How is it this much of a mess that we're sat there going, oh yeah, hopefully we'll be up there with Villa. Villa came up about 2-3 years ago. Like, I do have patience with this. I understand. The thing is, the reality is they've taken, like you said, out of touch in terms of thinking they're going to get top four, because they've taken an approach going, right, we're going to spend a billion. You could spend it better, but we're going to buy a load of kids. I mean, I saw today we've bought Moscardo, who's a highly rated Declan Rice type player.
We bought another Brazil. Kid.
We have. And, you know, luckily, I mean, we've just bought Lavia and Ugochukwu, who play the exact same position as this kid. I'm not doubting he could be a real talent, but you get my point. They're not more pressing needs. I don't get how they've made it this much of a mess that we're sat here being like, oh, hopefully we can be like Villa. And this isn't a disrespect to Villa. It's just a case of the last 20 odd years of watching football. Like, Chelsea don't sit there and compare themselves to Villa. And now we're currently looking up at them thinking, oh, they're doing a good job. Fair play. I take a few of their players. Their managers looked good. Like, why? It's just mental.
Yeah, it's true. I was having a conversation with my dad earlier exactly about this, because we went out for lunch. There's a calf right by me, and the guy in there is called George, is a massive Spurs fan, and he was talking about how, you know, he's just happy that Spurs are playing better football. And we were both saying, when we were walking back, we're like, the fact that you can see the difference in mentality between a Chelsea fan and a Tottenham fan, and even in this case as well, the fact we're going, why are we looking at these guys? That, you know, Chelsea as a culture, toxic is fair to say over the past few years of needing to win now. But I think the big thing at the minute is, if you understand football, and I'll be very honest, and everyone in this podcast, we are very lucky to be some of the people on the internet that do. You know, realistically, how this is being set up is it's destined to fail. You know, it's you're relying on projections of 4 or 5 years, when realistically, look, if they want to be in contention for European football and really, really pushing for it now, then they need to be looking at more senior players. But yet again, we're here looking at signing other toddlers. It's baffling. I don't get it. And, you know, we've said it so many times.
The thing I really don't get is, like, the idea of your project to get to the top. I get that in terms of a progression to win leagues, to win Champions Leagues, etc. That can take time. That's something you need to build. It's not a big project just to get in the top four. We've been doing that for years anyway. It doesn't take a lot. Newcastle have just shown you. Newcastle were like, oh, they're teetering on going down. Saudi come in, bang, top four the next year. It's not rocket science. Like, it's not, you don't have to be an amazing level to do that. You really don't. I know Newcastle just pace us. I don't look at Newcastle and think, cool, that's unattainable. How'd you get to that level? I don't, like, that's not the case. We just saw Bournemouth go and pace them. Like, they're not that amazing aside. United are like 2 points off Spurs, who everyone was going nuts about their season. And you watch a United game, you think, these aren't good. We can beat these. Like, that's what's so frustrating. We've got some players at our disposal, even if some of them are young, like good players. But I don't understand what's at the crux of this inconsistent. Like, is it just because they're young, or is it because some of these players maybe don't put it in enough, or they don't want to know when it gets a bit more tough? Because they've shown some resilience against City, bouncing back multiple times. Spurs, they went one and done. Even briefly in the first half against Newcastle, they still got the goal back. And then to fold like they did in the second half was just worrying, because I think that's honestly one of the worst halves I've seen Chelsea have. Chelsea as a collective across the years. Like, that was a dreadful second half.
Yeah, I don't think Poch was wrong in saying that was the worst game this season. I think we could look, we talk about the Brentford game, we talk about other games, but that was, you look at sides that are there for the taking, and in terms of how they play, we were both there, all three of us were there, sort of going, do you know what, they play open football, we should be okay here. I back us in this situation. Obviously, that, you know, St James' Park is always a tough place to go, but we made it far more difficult for ourselves. But Tom, you've been sat there rather quietly. Anything you want to add before we move on?
Yeah, again, just listening to these two football geniuses at work and taking it all in and enjoying it. Talking about Newcastle, because obviously this is the Newcastle review, and I think there are some interesting points about how Newcastle kind of attained top four. And you think about the players that they bought, and like, okay, Botman and Isak are probably the two sort of exceptional players, and I guess Guimaraes as well. But then you think about, like, Dan Byrne was one of them. And they kind of just also worked with what they had and improved it. Players like Sean Longstaff becoming quite good again, and Joe Willock and Jacob Murphy being able to actually kick a ball. I think it's just they were just smart. That's what it was. They were smart, and they've gone for a very different approach of buying what they actually need and taking what they had and making it better, rather than doing what we've done and gone, let's buy everything. Let's have 17 left backs, 431 centre midfielders. Eventually one of them will become good. And actually, no, let's spend another 100 mil on another midfielder and then buy four midfielders who are basically the same age as him, and they'll never play. I don't really understand it. It doesn't really make sense, but...
Do you know what's at the crux of that as well, by the way? We talk about them signing players, being intelligent with it. They also got brought in a director of football to be a director of football, not his number two, who was the head of recruitment, and making him the director of football when he clearly doesn't have a clue. It's a tough one. It is very tough, but it is what it is. But look, let's move on with the rest of this. Obviously, we've spoken about how the goals were poor, how Reece got sent off, and obviously the leadership not being great. Let's just step in. Let's go in depth quickly. What actually went wrong? What for you, when you look at that, you go, where did it just completely change? Why did we switch off so quickly?
Mentality.
Exactly, it's mentality. But it's that one goal, that one lapse of concentration for the second goal. And then suddenly our heads go down, and it's the one player that you really wouldn't expect to his head to still be down, or him to still be thinking about the goal you've just conceded. Thiago Silva, the 39-year-old, who then makes another like horrendous error. Like, if that's another player, and I'll blame myself for this. If that's Cucurella, he's getting absolutely slammed in this right now. Like, that is a horrendous error for anyone to make, let alone someone who's been there, done that as much as he is. Like, yes, players make mistakes, but to make a mistake that badly when you've just conceded, it's just really, really frustrating and really poor, to be honest with you. And, you know, we've spoken about Silva a few times and about whether is it time to kind of start moving on. Well, there you go. I don't want to be sort of reactionary after one game, but it's a poor thing to do. And then we keep going. And then there's the fourth goal as well.
That's a big statement.
And I think... Okay. Well, we've said it. I'm not the first one who said it. Tobes said it earlier on.
I'm going to throw it out there that... since dropping Colwell, we've conceded four in two games in a row. I'm not saying he's the correlation. I'm saying I felt pretty confident with our defence prior to... Like, City's one of those games where, like, okay, Taylor tacks for one goal, deflection, and, like, you know, it's a bit like that Frank Lampard interview, shit goal, fluke goal. But this wasn't that. And I've enjoyed Colwell. I know he's been at left-back quite a few of the times. Not that Cooker has been performing badly, but... You know, he did bring some defensive steel And I've also, I am on Tom's page. I've said quite a few times this season, I do think we do need to start planning forward. Not that I don't rate Silva, but you will have more of this sort of stuff. I mean, we've seen this when he did start his debut against West Brom. It was a bit like one of those games, to be honest. He hates playing West Brom, actually. But for me, it was just, it was a mentality thing. That's what worried me, because it came from two players I absolutely loved to bits in Silva and Reese. That's what was so disappointing about it. Mm. I was like, you two have to know better. What like that, for that error to happen to Silva, it shouldn't even come into question. We've just gone 2-1 down. Nothing silly. Just boot it up. I don't understand what he was doing. I don't understand Reese's logic either. Like, it was weirdly immature, naive, but from two players I wouldn't expect it from. Some of the younger ones, the less experienced ones, I get it, but for those two to be the ones that ultimately, like, look, put it this way, no one covered themselves in glory, but those two really let themselves down. I was gutted with that, and I just found it annoying seeing all that. I've said it before, but I don't want to see Insta posts. I don't want to see Insta posts. Show me on the pitch.
Yeah, it's a big thing. I can't disagree with anything they said. I think that's the thing which really hurt me the most as well. It's the two players who you look at as the leaders in the team. I think Reese is a young lad with the armband still, and I think that's why I'm not being as harsh. But he has been playing football regularly now for 3 or 4 years. You know, he is now a seasoned player, and I think I need to be a little bit more harsh on him.
This is because of the bar we hold him to as well. We know how good he is, and we know he's above this silly shit. That's why I was like, just gutted with it.
Yeah, it's one of those. We'll move on. Before we do, Tom, come on, give me something positive, please, for the love of Christ.
Okay, I'll give you a positive. Actually, I'll give you two. One, it's only one game, and it's Newcastle away. Not many teams go there and win these days. And two, Raheem Sterling. Great goal. And I think we have to give him some credit for, I would say, a more consistent resurgence. Last year, I was very disappointed with him. This year, I think he's not even just starting to show. He has shown now over a few games that he is still a good player and can still be our sort of talisman in attack. So I'll give him the positive award for this week. Not that there's any competition whatsoever. Hopefully, against this depleted Brighton. We played a depleted Newcastle. It didn't go very well. So hopefully against the depleted Brighton, we can get back to some sort of positivity to start the festive season right.
Exactly. There is only hope. I think this is one of those results we just have to accept this year. You know, I did say that earlier. This is one which we're just going to have to swallow. And as you said, not many teams go to Newcastle and win. It's a very, very tough place to go. But having said that, it was still annoying. It was still crap. And I think we're all still feeling it a little bit. Guys, that has been the Chelsea Echo review of Newcastle 4, Chelsea 1. If you have enjoyed this, please do make sure you give us a good review on all good podcasts and platforms. We really do appreciate it. And you guys have been listening now. We've been going for a few months now, and we're about to hit a festive period, and we've got some great stuff in store for you over the January transfer window as well, which we've been chatting about. When I was out till 4:30 in the morning beforehand, we did actually have a meeting over some gyroshes, which was very constructive. So enjoy that. Then we'll be giving you the Brighton preview office as well. And then you won't be hearing from me probably for about 8 days. I'm going to leave you in the capable hands of these two and Jordan, obviously, as well, who's currently muted himself. So good luck with that, guys. But anyway, this has been a Highway 61 production. Part of the Highway 61 network. Make sure you follow us on all our socials and engage with the Chelsea Echo. You have been engaging with a lot of our tweets that Jordan's been putting out, and we will definitely give you a few rundowns of those soon. Tell your friends, tell your family, spread the word, and obviously we've got a giveaway for you set at Christmas time, but we'll catch you for the Brighton preview, and we'll see you later. Ta-da.